get sometimes distracted, bogged down by the wickedness in this world. But don't forget, God is sovereign and He's doing exactly what He set out to do.
Amen.
All right. Enough of that. Colossians 3:15 was our fighter verse this past week. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians 3:15. All right, you may be dismissed. Are there any that need a copy of the lesson this morning? Anybody? All right, good. Thank you, Dave. Colossians 3:15. No. I'm having a kind of a tough morning this morning. In the brain, so I'll throw that out from the outset. Hopefully you'll forgive me if I stumble a bit. We continue this morning with the compound names with Jehovah, or Yehovah, or Yahweh, if you prefer. In fact, you know, I say that, I don't know what you think. There are some who think it's actually wrong to say Jehovah. I wouldn't go to seed on that thought. Wrong to say, because it's a mispronunciation of the tetragrammaton in the Hebrew and no vowels and things like that. I just praised Jehovah this morning. How's that? It's okay. But we started last week with the compound names with Jehovah. And I'd like to deal with three more this morning. We will look at Scripture together. I hope to read some of the Psalms together. That it just didn't seem appropriate to include an excerpt from these Psalms. I thought it would be so much better to read them together in their entirety. And they're not long. But much of our scripture reading will be from the Psalms. But in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And here is our fourth Jehovah compound name, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And if we were preaching this morning, and I don't intend to, but if we were preaching, we could preach a long time about the Lord who heals. And what a wondrous thought that is. But instead, what we'd like to do is just look at instances in the Scripture where this word Rapha is used in relation to God's dealing. I am the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord who heals. And it's very encouraging to me as we look at these things, and such a blessing. In 2 Chronicles 7, we quote this verse quite often. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Will heal their land. Now, that might have a byproduct of the grass growing greener, but that's not exactly what God meant when he said he would heal their land. He was dealing with the sin of the people. He promised to heal the land. He heals his people from their sins. In 2 Chronicles 30, verse 20, and the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. All right? These were not people with physical infirmities. They were people who had sinned and were suffering the judgment, physical infirmities perhaps being a part of that judgment. But I will heal the people from their sins. He heals the weak and brokenhearted. And we have in bold print there Psalm 6. And I'd like to read with you Psalm 6 among, as well as a few others. If you'll open with me this morning, we think this would be a good thing. In Psalm 147, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 6 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary and with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Don't you love the poetry of the Psalms? Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. The Lord will receive my prayer. What was the prayer? Heal me. Lord, heal me. He heals the weak and the brokenhearted. We get there, don't we, in our lives. We find ourselves weak. How many times have you not known what to say when you've prayed? Here's a good one to start with. Lord, heal me. Heal me. Psalm 30. He heals completely. Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Another Psalm of David here. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. And then the verses to follow, look at the completeness of Jehovah Rapha. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Yahweh, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Now that's a complete healing, isn't it? spiritual healing. There's physical things mentioned here. There is eternity dealt with here. I will give thanks unto thee forever. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And he heals completely. He heals as sovereign creator. Look at Psalm 60 with me, if you would. Psalm 60. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased, O Lord, turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. That sounds familiar. Banner. Remember that from last week? Jehovah Nisi. That it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Heal the breaches, he says. In verse 2, you've broken it, you heal it. Our God is sovereign. He heals as sovereign creator. In Psalm 103, we read, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I've put in here somewhat of a footnote there. Some consider these diseases to be of a spiritual nature, sins, but regardless of how you interpret that, God is the healer of diseases. And then my favorite Psalm, 107. God heals at the point of desperation. And we've read this to you before, this Psalm 107. If you remember, there are four different types of people described in Psalm 107. You find the wanderer in verse 4, the rebel in verse 11. In verse 17, there's the fool. And then there's that businessman in verse 23. And they all have something in common. They all have their own thing going on. But they are brought to the point of desperation. And they all cry out to God. And we see in verse 17, the fool, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. What are you going to do this week? Let me encourage you to sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I didn't mean to put that in there, but it is
Thanksgiving week, so we'll make a point.
He is the God who heals the fool. I could say amen to that. He heals the fool.
You know, I think it might be good for me to look at 107 there again just a little bit. And here's my take on 107. In verse 4, we mentioned the wanderer. And the wanderer finds no city to dwell in. He doesn't know the way. See if you can find yourself here. I apologize if this is redundant or a repeat, but it's been a while. It's been over 2 weeks, so you probably don't remember anyway, right? See if you find yourself as a sinner here, a wanderer, and having not heard the way, not knowing the way.
The rebel, in verse 11, he has heard the way, but he has rebelled against it. Right?
I'll just leave these with you. You might want to look into them more deeply this week.
The fool, and how foolish it is, he's heard the way, but what he's done is come up with his own instead. The fool comes up with his own way. The fool has said in his heart, what? There's no God. I'll handle this. God heals the fool. Amen. But now that guy in the last, verse 23, that merchant man, that sailor, that businessman, his problem is he just got too much going on. He doesn't have time to hear any of it. Now you take those four if you want and this week and take a look at them and see if it makes any sense. But that's kind of my take of these four different types of sinners described in Psalm 107. Well, moving on then. Our God, Jehovah Rapha, heals with grace and mercy. In Isaiah 57, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We normally would stop their quoting, but listen on. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Jehovah Rapha. He heals with grace and mercy. He heals with much long suffering. Much long suffering. I'm glad God doesn't operate on my timetable. Have you ever prayed, Lord, I just wish you'd come back now. I just wish you would come back right now. And that's usually not because you long to see his face, but because you'd like to get out of this jam that you're in, right? I don't know if you've ever prayed that. I don't encourage it. If that's your motivation, Lord, I wish you'd come back now because I need to get out of this jam. That's not what we should be crying out. Lord, I long to see your face. I long to see you. I long to be like you. That should be our cry. And my point is, I'm glad he doesn't move by my timetable. I'm glad there are certain prayers he doesn't answer with a yes. How often have the circumstances been so dark, so bleak? And we are crying out, Lord, how long? And then right around the corner here are the blessings of his grace. Here,
the Lord saves that one for whom we've been praying for so long. Why does He wait? Why is He so patient and long-suffering? That He might be gracious. That's true. Why does God not move on our timetable? I'm glad He doesn't. I'm glad He's long-suffering. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. And so what did God say? You forget me, and I will judge you. You forget me, in essence, I will forget you. But what does He say here? Return. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. God heals with long-suffering. I'm glad He waits. I'm glad He waits. I'm glad His mercy is extended. He heals. Jehovah Rapha heals in the day of evil in Jeremiah 17. Verses 14 through 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Here's a challenge. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow Thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before Thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. He heals in the day of evil. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. The fifth compound name is Jehovah Shalom. Shalom, the Lord is peace. In Judges 6:24, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Now, we have some time. I think it would be good to go back here to Judges 6. Because we could really get preachy here. I mean, we could really take off with the Lord is peace. And I think maybe lose sight of our emphasis this morning. And so what I thought I would do is just look at Joshua chapter 6 and encourage you to do so. And notice how the God of peace works in this particular point in history in the nation of Israel. You know the cycle of sin, of judgment, of deliverance and blessing, and then sin again. You know how that cycle went through in the book of Judges. Well, this is the story of Gideon. But I want you to notice the turmoil and the absence of peace. There was no peace with God in verse 1. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. I told you I had a bad day, right? That was Joshua chapter 6. Okay, Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. No peace in the land of Israel with God. Verses 2 and following. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Can you picture that? The children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and And the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So we see not only were they without peace in their relationship with God, but they were without peace in relation to their enemies, their neighbors, those on the outside. And then I want you to see what was going on in the heart of Gideon in verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, that is the angel of the Lord, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I detect not only some woe here, but I detect almost some sarcasm and some resentment to God. And how is it, or should I say, isn't it like sinners who are under the judgment or the reaping of what they have sown to shake their finger to the face of God and say, God, why have you done this to me? Turmoil in the soul. And in our day, it seems to be quite prevalent, quite popular. This past week, Billy Graham made a comment about our nation and how that we have basically adopted the philosophy of Satan and basically adopted the idea of every man doing what is right in his own eyes. And for us who know the Scriptures, we say, yes, amen, fundamentally, amen. That's exactly what's happened. And I read the comments, and I was a bit shocked at the comments. I mean, not challenge, but bitter, vitriolic hatred. Not only to God, but to Billy Graham himself. Wow, that was a shock to me. I recall when in the 80s, when the AIDS epidemic hit, and talked to these men, Josh and John, talked to them about what AIDS is. And I know people get downright defiant and angry when you say things like this, but it is apparent and quite obvious what AIDS is. That is, it is judgment. And I say these men because they're in medical and they have contact. And so here was the preachers preaching in the 50s in America, and there was an adherence to, in many ways, to godly principles, but the 60s came along and said, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will do what is right in our own eyes. Lasciviousness. Unbridled lust. You can't tell me what's right and what's wrong. And preachers, to their credit, still preached against sin, some of them. And then the 80s came along and the AIDS epidemic. And I remember as a young, a teenager, I guess. And I remember the demonstrations for those who were stricken with this awful disease because of their sin. They held up a banner and it said, "Why are you killing us? Why are you killing us?" They were protesting President Reagan's lack of funding for AIDS research. Why are you killing us? And there is the resentment and the lack of light, the lack of understanding. And I can almost infer that from the words of Gideon. Where is God? Why has God done this to us? There's no peace here. There's no peace in our land. There was no peace in his soul. Nothing but torment. But the God of peace brings peace. In verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." In verse 6, backing up, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, then that the Lord sent a prophet. Aren't you glad the Lord sends a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage." There is the God of peace, hearing the cry of the sinner and sending the word of God. Isn't that a wonder? He is Jehovah Shalom. He heals, and hand in glove goes this: he is the God of peace. In chapter 8, verse 28, still in the same period, "Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness." The turmoil was changed to peace, was turned to quietness. That is Jehovah Shalom, the God who heals. I can see why Gideon would build an altar and say, "Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom." In chapter 8, backing up again, verse 22, notice what happened inside of him personally. 8:22, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto him, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto him, The Lord will," and so you see the turmoil that once was in the soul of Gideon changed into a steadfastness of faith from Jehovah Shalom. All right, then the last one that we will discuss today is Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And we're only going to lay down a couple of quotes here regarding Jehovah Shema, because I believe as we get into the New Testament that this one in particular, well, they're all going to be wonderful, but this one is going to really blossom when we see Jesus Christ as Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35, "And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there." There's a quote here from the Reformation Study Bible. "From the beginning of the Old Testament, God had revealed His intention to be with His people. He walked and spoke with them in the Garden of Eden and dwelled in sanctuaries built in their midst. The promise of a child named Emmanuel pointed to a day when God would be with us. The New Testament ends in much the same way as the book of Ezekiel ends. John 2 describes the city of God, and a time when God will live with human beings, Revelation 21, verse 3. He ends with the prayer, Amen, come, Lord Jesus, Revelation 22:20. To be, I'm reminded of John 14, that where I am, there you may be also. God's desire to be with His people. And then Don Fortner, and I have enjoyed the article that Brother Fortner, he's a pastor, a Kentucky pastor, so he's got to have something going right. He did an extensive a sermon article on the names of God, and I have used some of his points for help and understanding, but I thought it'd be good to quote here regarding Jehovah Shammah, Brother Don Fortner. The blessedness and glory, happiness and security of God's church on earth and in heaven is the presence of God with her. This name, Jehovah Shammah, given to God's church, means that God dwells with us. The Lord is there. It is true, God is with all His creatures in a general way. He is everywhere at all times because He is omnipresent. And He is everywhere in a providential way, sovereignly accomplishing His purpose in all things. But when the Holy Spirit calls the church Jehovah Shammah, He means for us to understand that the Lord is there in a special way to exercise His grace and power and make Himself known. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst, right? Therefore, the psalmist sang, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46, 5 through 7. And that gives us a good segue and preview for next week, because we will deal with the Lord of hosts, among others. I do see the series coming to a close. This is for the first time I'm able to kind of get my mind wrapped around what we will try to accomplish here, or how we will try to end this. I think we will have one more lesson regarding the compound names of Jehovah. And then I'd like to go ahead and get into the New Testament and see our Lord Jesus Christ in fulfillment of all of these. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it'll be a blessing. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we love You and thank You so much that You heal. Father, we thank You that You are the God of peace. And we praise Your name that You are with us, Emmanuel. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that You would manifest Yourself in this place. Save sinners here, dear Lord. Get glory as we worship You. I pray for the edification of the saints this morning. May we be of one mind, esteeming others higher than ourselves. And Father, may we honor You and glorify You in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.